Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better healthcare. Let's talk to our friend Dr. Jeffrey Copin, Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. I don't think you and I have chatted in a while, Doctor. You were gone and I was gone. How have you been?
I'm good. How was your trip, John?
We went from Rome to Athens, and it's the first time we've traveled in, 3+ years without any COVID protocols, and I must say it was lovely. Bob Sarab, maybe I was talking to, there were moments where I thought, oh, shoot, I should have brought a mask with me just because we seemed a little crowded, you know, on a plane or in an airport. But, everybody did real well. It was a nice trip.
Oh, good for you. Yeah, you know, we're in an interesting time right now. We know last week the World Health Organization called off the emergency. May 11th, which I think is in 2 days, last time I checked, President Biden announced that that will be the last day for the emergency declaration that we've had in the United States. So, you know, these are nice milestones that we're living through. And certainly, John, your experience on your trip shows that although we still have this virus, it's very real, it's still here, it's certainly possible to get out there like we're doing and living our lives and getting back to so many of the things that we really enjoy doing, like traveling. So good for you that you're able to do that.
Yeah, a lot of nice listeners went with us too. Although, back to your point about Title 42, well, so if, put it this way, am I going to have to pay for a COVID test now? And if I get sick with COVID, are the costs going to be different now, now that this emergency declaration is over?
Those of us who are fortunate enough to be insured will be fine. Our insurance will continue to pay for these things.
Really?
People who do not have coverage, that can be a problem, though. You know, right now, the federal government's been picking up all the expense for people who do not have coverage of some kind. So how that's going to be handled is going to be an issue. I know the federal government right now is looking into a way to continue to pay for those people, at least testing, vaccines when the time comes. You know, John, there's at least $50 billion, and my suspicion is more, left over from what the government in Washington appropriated for COVID relief in various ways, including COVID testing and all of those things. And I suspect there's going to be a negotiation now between Congress and the executive branch in what to do with that $50 billion. That's a lot of money. That pays for a lot of tests. So hopefully we'll have continued funding for people who need it.
I wonder if we shouldn't just give it back. I mean, the money was there for a purpose. If the purpose is no longer being served, then give the money back. But I haven't heard anybody say they were going to do that.
Yeah, you know, that's part of what's in the House of Representatives' debt, increasing the debt limit legislation. They want that money given back as a way to defray some of the costs in the next fiscal year. I doubt we're going to see that happen in totality, but maybe they can find a way to repurpose some of the money and then fund the kinds of things that we're going to need to fund going forward, because there still are very real needs, and we shouldn't lose track of that.
So the COVID emergency is over. People are still getting COVID. We're now just going to be treating it like any other illness that we have or have had these days. You know, stay away from people. You know the protocol these days. Anything else that's going to be different as a result of this, Doc?
Yeah, so we, in our Northwestern hospitals, we changed our rules regarding where people need to be masked other than our highest risk areas. People can choose not to wear a mask if that's what we want. Many of our staff members have chosen to go that route, where others are continuing to wear masks all the time. And that's a good thing. People need to make up their own minds what it is that they want to do. But here, John, let me ask you a question. On your travels, and, you know, you went to Europe, you were in two different countries, how many masked people did you see? And I don't mean thieves. I mean, how many people were wearing masks concerned about viral infection?
I would say maybe at the airport where, you know, it was would have been most noticeable, 5%, maybe less.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Since the mask mandate went away, you know, each time I've traveled, you know, I've noticed in the airports and on the airplanes, fewer and fewer people.
Yeah, me too.
But, you know, I just, again, want to stress for those people who are at risk and those people who feel more comfortable wearing a mask, please wear a mask. Even though you'll be in the minority now, if it's the right thing for you to do, please go ahead and do that. That's really important.
Talk to me about other respiratory stuff. I know I brought it up last week, but it sure seems like the allergens are rougher for people this year. I don't know, maybe if collectively our health is a little compromised, I don't know what's going on, but am I just making this up? Is this a bad season for whatever's in the air these days?
Yeah, the spring pollen counts have been high now for about 6 weeks. So I know people who have allergies, seasonal allergies, during this time of year are really feeling it. I also think, John, we're hypervigilant now. So when you get congested, your nose runs, you develop a cough due to an allergy and post-nasal drip, you know, nobody wants to be out coughing, right? You're still going to be looked at like maybe you have COVID. So I just think that we're hyper-aware when it comes to things like that, and the pollen counts are high. They're starting to come down now, but they have been high for the last several weeks. So those people who do have seasonal allergies in the spring, you're right. It's been a bad season for them.
Anything else that's burning up the phones in the doctor's offices these days, Dr. Copen? What else are you all talking about at Northwestern?
So today there was an interesting recommendation that came out from the United States Preventive Services Task Force. This is a group of experts that make recommendations dealing with policies on things like mammography screening.
Yeah.
And Jen, I don't know if you guys have talked about this on the news yet, but they're recommending that the age for screening mammography in women be dropped down to 40 from 50, where it is right now.
We had that in our news.
According to the Preventive Services Task Force.
I guess.
So this is going to be a really interesting discussion that's going to occur now. Because the way these things work, an organization like Preventive Services puts out a recommendation. Now the other groups, the other professional societies and expert panels will start weighing in. But I suspect we will see a decrease in the age where it's going to be recommended for women to start having annual screening mammograms.
Well, you just said 40. I mean, that's a lot less than it has been, right?
Right. There's been some organizations dropped it down to 45. So 40 is as young as it's come. And that's because there's been an appreciation that the age at which some women are getting breast cancer is younger and younger. So they're thinking starting at 40 is going to make sense, particularly for women who are at more risk. We know, for example, Black women are at higher risk of developing breast cancer in earlier age. So expect to see a lot of discussion occurring now about this, potential change in recommendations across all of the expert groups and professional societies. So this is something, Jen, for us to keep our eye out for.
Do you have an opinion about the wisdom of this?
Yeah, I'm waiting to see for American Cancer Society to come in and see what they have to say. This would be a change for them. This is looking at a whole lot of studies that have been done. There's a ton of data out there that gets reviewed. So I'm looking forward to digging into this more myself and see how the Preventive Services Task Force, which is usually pretty conservative, when it comes to this, conservative meaning that they're not as aggressive as some other organizations when it comes to making recommendations about cancer screening. So this is a big change for Preventive Services Task Force. So I think we'll know more over the next several weeks and months, and I'm sure, John, this is something we'll chat more about over the next several weeks.
Hey, real quick, any truth to this listener said COVID-19 vaccine going into the flu shot? Are they going to do that?
There's talk about that perhaps in the future. To my knowledge, though, no one's manufactured that yet, but we should expect that we're going to be getting in the fall, into the winter, when we go get our annual influenza shot, we will be getting another COVID vaccine at that time. But it'll probably be two shots.
Okay. Dr. Jeffrey Copin, Chief Medical Officer, Northwestern's Lake Forest Hospital. It's nice to talk to you, Doctor. Let's do this next Tuesday.
All right. Looking forward to it, John. Everybody take care. Bye-bye.